Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to welcome you all to our telephone conference to the first quarter results. With me today are Dr. Norbert Reithofer, Chairman of the Board of Management of BMW AG, and Dr. Friedrich Eichiner, our CFO. First, Dr. Reithofer will give you an update on the business performance during the first 3 months of 2015. Dr. Eichiner will then take you through our financial results for the first quarter. Afterwards, we will have time for our Q&A session. Mr. Reithofer, please go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, our targets for 2015 have already been announced. We plan to achieve solid growth and new all-time highs for both our group sales and the pre-tax group result. We plan to remain the world's leading premium car company. And regarding the EBIT margin in the automotive segment, we are still aiming for a target range of 8%-10%. The business environment will continue to be highly volatile. We see both risks and opportunities over the course of the year. On the one hand, a number of factors will have a positive effect on our business development. The global economy is expected to grow. The economic momentum in the U.S. remains high, and the outlook for Europe is once again slightly positive. However, there remains economic uncertainty in the EU. Experts have also forecast an upward trend for the global car market. In the US, new car registrations are likely to reach 17 million. In Europe, our largest sales region, experts anticipate 13.5 million new car registrations. This would be an increase of 3.8%. On the other hand, there are still uncertainties. The growth momentum in China is slowing down. For 2015, the Chinese government is striving to achieve a GDP growth rate of 7%. In addition, the Chinese car market is normalizing. We have always said that such a development would come, and so it has. We call this the new normal. And of course, we considered this situation in our planning. Forecasts for the world's largest car market predict an increase of about 7% to more than 20 million new car registrations this year. The premium segment in China developed more slowly than the overall car market during the first 3 months of 2015. Our core brand BMW grew at the same rate as the Chinese premium market. In Japan, the number of new car registrations is expected to decline again this year. The development in the emerging markets still remains uneven. However, the economic environments of countries like Brazil and Russia are experiencing a downward trend and are expecting a decrease in automotive sales. Our strategy of balanced global sales continues to allow us to even out the disparities across the world. We have also emphasized we do not want to be dependent on any single market or region. This approach continues to be our strength. Thanks to our strategy, we have a flexible and agile approach that allows us to offset market imbalances. Due to our highly flexible production network, we can respond immediately to local market fluctuations. And due to the high demand for our brands, we are able to shift vehicle sales to other markets at short notice. Having said that, there will always remain new challenges for our business. These include political and military conflicts, which affect global trade and the development of the world's car markets. This makes it even more important for us to have our strategy number one as a long-term strategic guideline. However, our forecast for 2015 can only be upheld when there are no major changes to these underlying expectations, which presume that the economic and political conditions will remain stable and there won't be any unforeseen changes. Rest assured, we remain fully committed to our successful course we have achieved over the past years, also within a volatile business environment. And this commitment can be seen through our positive results in the first quarter. In sales, we posted the sixth record result in a row. All in all, we delivered close to 527,000 cars to customers worldwide. Our pre-tax result also reached a new record level for a first quarter at more than 2.2 billion euros. The EBIT margin in the automotive segment stands at 9.5% and thus at the top end of our defined profitability range of 8%-10%. Our successful business development is based on the strong demand for the products of our three premium brands, BMW, MINI, and Rolls-Royce. This is reflected in the sales figures of the first quarter of the year. Never before we have sold more cars of our BMW and MINI brands in a first quarter. BMW expanded its lead in the mid-size and upper mid-size segments. At Rolls-Royce, 780 motor cars were sold in the first quarter, which were fewer than in the same period last year. Overall, the BMW Group continues to offer our customers worldwide a very young product portfolio. In total, we are launching 50 new models and model updates for BMW and MINI customers this year. Let me give you a few examples. The new BMW 2 Series convertible has been available since February. March saw the market launch of the updated BMW 1 Series. The model range includes BMW's new CO2 champion, the 116D Efficient Dynamics. Fitted with a three-cylinder engine, it needs 3.4 liters of diesel per 100 kilometer and emits 89 grams of CO2 per kilometer. Another launch in March was the model update of the BMW 6 Series, including the M6. The BMW X5 M and X6 M also arrived at the dealerships in March. MINI has offered its new John Cooper Works model since April. June will see the launch of the BMW 2 Series Grand Tourer, and MINI is going to present the new Clubman later this year. In the past few weeks, many media representatives had the opportunity to drive the prototype of the new BMW 7 Series at the BMW test grounds in Miramar. According to many reports and articles, the driving experience was absolute sheer driving pleasure. You have seen the wealth of innovations in the sixth generation of the BMW 7 Series. The positive feedback has affirmed our commitment to take luxury experience to a new level. For us, future luxury means the perfect balance of many superlatives, for example, aesthetic design, dynamic driving experience, maximum comfort, extensive connectivity, and outstanding efficiency. Or, as a motor magazine has put it, quote, "We seriously believe that this time the guys from Munich have managed to square the circle," unquote. Ladies and gentlemen, further growth potential for the entire automotive industry is going to arise from the implementation of the free trade agreement between the EU and the United States. Let me comment briefly on the TTIP. For us in the EU, the single market has led to growth and prosperity. It has also strengthened the German car industry in its role as a driver of innovation, a motor for qualified jobs, and a reliable partner for the communities in which we operate. For the BMW Group, Europe is still our largest sales market. The TTIP gives the two economic regions, Europe and Northern America, the opportunity to create a common economic area with over 850 million consumers. Together, these two regions account for almost half of the world's GDP. This move could lead to the world's largest free trade area, which would also be based on similar cultural values. Europe in particular relies on close transatlantic cooperation to secure its position in the global business world and would benefit from the TTIP over the long term. There is already a lively transatlantic trade between the automotive industry in Europe and the US. The OEMs in the two regions are well connected and have established a close production network, which is one of a kind worldwide. Car makers could save customs duties and invest the money instead in innovative technologies, cutting-edge production processes, and in their future viability. All of these aspects would have a share in ensuring that the EU remains on par with other major economic regions in the world. We all here in Europe will definitely profit from this agreement. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much, Norbert Reithofer. And now, Mr. Eichiner will give you an update on the financials of the BMW Group. Dr. Eichiner, please go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon from my side as well. The BMW Group made a positive start to 2015. The first three months of the year have confirmed the company's operational strength. With record sales, revenues, and earnings, the group posted its best-ever first quarter. The figures confirm our targets for 2015. With an attractive lineup, BMW Group delivered almost 527,000 vehicles to customers. Sales growth of 8.1% year-on-year also boosted group revenues. First quarter revenues climbed to 20.92 billion, up 14.7% from the same period last year. Positive currency translation effects from the depreciation of the euro against the other main currencies contributed to this significant increase. Adjusted for these effects, revenues were 6.5% higher. BMW Group pre-tax earnings reached 2.27 billion, an increase of 5.1% over the first quarter of last year. At group level, the EBT margin stood at 10.8%. The BMW Group maintained its growth course in the first three months. The company invested a total of 794 million in products and equipment. A large share of our product investment benefited upcoming models such as the 7 Series, the 2 Series Grand Tourer, and the MINI Clubman. With significantly higher revenues, the CapEx ratio for the first quarter stood at 3.8%. Due to the large number of projects, we expect to see a clear increase in capital expenditure for the full year. Overall, we aim to meet our strategic target of below 7% of revenue. As an innovative-driven company, the BMW Group spent a total of 926 million on research and development activities in the first quarter. This is a decrease of 6.7% over the same period of last year. Research and development continues to focus on alternative drivetrains, lightweight design, and connectivity. The new BMW 7 Series, for example, will be equipped with an innovative composite body structure, the very latest assistance systems, and groundbreaking interface concepts such as instruction by hand movement. Our R&D activities are designed to strengthen the company's competitive position. The R&D ratio was only 4.4%, again due to currency translation effects on revenues. For the full year 2015, the company is aiming for a ratio within the target range of 5%-5.5%. As usual, capital expenditure and R&D expenses will have more of an impact in the second half of the year. BMW Group liquidity remains solid at 10.34 billion at the end of March. This healthy liquidity level assures the company's financial flexibility. Based on the company's strong performance and financial solidity, Moody's has changed our rating outlook. In March, it confirmed its A2 long-term rating and P1 short-term rating and changed the BMW Group outlook from stable to positive. The BMW Group remains the European auto manufacturer with the best credit ratings. Now let's take a look at the individual segments. Positive sales development in the automotive segment generated higher revenues at almost 18.89 billion. This represents a significant increase of 14.1% year-on-year. Revenues rose faster than sales due to currency translation effects. Adjusted for these effects, revenues increased by 5.4%. EBIT in the segment climbed to 1.79 billion, a significant increase of 13.5% over the previous year. The EBIT margin remained at the upper end of our target range of 8%-10% at 9.5% like last year. The first quarter already benefited from the favorable currency environment and a slight tailwind from changes in currency and raw material prices. However, pricing was slightly weaker than in early 2014. The first quarter of last year was impacted by the market launch of the BMW i and new MINI Hatch models. Related costs were lower this year. Dampening effects, however, resulted from a higher percentage of compact vehicles, higher depreciation and personnel costs. The BMW Group has hired new staff to implement its planned capacity expansion and to boost its innovative leadership. The group's total workforce increased by 5.5% to 117,554 employees. The earnings contribution of our Chinese joint venture BBA reported in the equity result was lower than the previous year. This reflects preparations for the ramp-up of new vehicles, capacity expansion, and more intense competition in the marketplace. The market evaluation of commodity derivatives also affected our financial result. Britex earnings for the first quarter totaled 1.63 billion and were therefore on par with the same period of last year. For the full year 2015, we expect to benefit from a positive balance of raw materials and currency effects. The group is well hedged in the main currencies for the current year. The segment's positive earnings development is also reflected in the free cash flow, which stood at 1.06 billion as per the 31st of March. As previously announced, we anticipate a strong free cash flow of more than 3 billion for 2015. At the end of the quarter, net financial assets in the automotive segment totaled over 15 billion. Ladies and gentlemen, the financial services segment reported new all-time highs from its business activities in the first 3 months of the year. In line with sales growth, the segment concluded more than 384,000 new leasing and financing contracts with customers, 10.5% more than in the first quarter of last year. The volume of new business climbed 27.8% to 11.79 billion. BMW Group Financial Services managed a total portfolio of 4.07 million contracts as per the end of March. This represents an increase of 6.2% over the previous year. The Asia-Pacific region saw particularly strong growth. The segment also made solid gains in its other main sales regions. At 44.9%, the segment penetration rate, the percentage of new vehicles financed or leased by financial services, was higher than for the first 3 months of 2014. There is growing demand for financing services products, both leasing and financing in all regions of the world. The growth of the automotive business is accompanied by a planned increase in the financial services contract portfolio. Our business will continue to focus on profitable new business with a good balance between leasing and finance. First quarter pre-tax earnings climbed 23.4% to 559 million. This significant increase also stems from currency translation effects. The segment is currently benefiting from attractive refinancing conditions and a healthy risk situation. Pricing on the international used car markets is largely on par with last year. The credit risk situation remains stable, with a slight positive trend. The credit loss ratio for the entire portfolio is low at 0.33%, which is also below last year's figure. For the full year 2015, we expect residual values and credit risk to remain stable across all regions. The segment takes a comprehensive, proactive approach to risk management and makes appropriate provisions for business risks. We expect our financial services segment to continue its positive business development throughout the rest of the year. The motorcycle segment started the 2015 financial year with record sales, revenues and earnings. BMW Motorrad benefited from positive market development, especially in Europe. The brand's attractive portfolio also boosted sales. All five new models were available for the start of the season. The two supersport bikes, the S1000RR and the brand new S1000XR. The two new boxer models, the BMW R1200R and the R1200RS, and the BMW F800R, all of which will contribute to the solid sales growth forecast for this year. BMW Motorrad delivered a total of more than 31,300 motorcycles to customers in the year to the end of March, an increase of 9.2%. In Europe, the brand reported a significant sales increase of 12.1%. Due in part to currency tailwinds, first quarter revenues climbed 20.1% to 567 million. The EBIT for the same period reached 115 million, profiting from higher sales volume and a positive product mix. As a gentleman, I would like to finish with a few words about our outlook. As I already mentioned, our business development in the first 3 months of the year confirms our guidance for the full year. We are committed to our targets for 2015 with a solid increase in group earnings before tax and a solid increase in sales in the automotive segment with an EBIT margin between 8 to 10%. The continued weakening of the euro against the main currencies, the US dollar and the renminbi, could lead to significantly higher revenues for the full year 2015, rather than the solid year-on-year increase originally forecast. We are planning for a solid increase in sales at BMW Motorrad. For financial services, return on equity should remain on par with last year and therefore above our target of at least 18%. The BMW Group is addressing the challenges ahead for the whole automotive industry, in particular intense competition in mature markets, normalization of the Chinese market, the enormous investments needed to lower CO2 emissions. We consider these aspects in our strategic alignment. We adjust our course to take advantage of opportunities for the company. Our target remains sustainable, profitable growth. The solid increase in sales forecast for the full year 2015 will rely on continued positive business development. This will depend on sustained recovery in the European markets, which should help stabilize pricing. In North America, we expect dynamic economic growth to continue. Further normalization is likely in China. It will be virtually impossible to sustain the dynamic growth we have seen in the auto market in the past. Due to the higher basis, we expect lower growth rates than in previous years. Competition will intensify and put prices under further pressure. Nonetheless, we will continue to capitalize on the potential of this market. The Chinese government expects a GDP growth of around 7% in 2015. A slower rate of growth could potentially affect our business performance. Over the course of the year, the percentage of compact models in our product mix will continue to increase. To meet its forecast profitable growth and secure its future competitiveness, the company will continue to invest in new products, innovation, and capacity expansion this year. We anticipate higher depreciation and increased personnel and marketing costs for the launch of new models. Compared to 2014, more of this expenditure will be concentrated in the second half of the year. Depending on current risks and opportunities and how political and economic conditions develop, actual business performance may deviate from our present forecast. Ladies and gentlemen, the BMW Group will maintain its strategic course and focus on enhancing its competitiveness. Being doing this, the company will benefit from its financial stability, brand strength, and from its attractive products and services. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Aichina. Ladies and gentlemen, the line will shortly be open for questions. Please wait for some technical advice.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for any of today's speakers, could you please press 0 and then 1 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once I announce your name, please ask your question. And if you find your question has been answered before it's your turn to speak or wish to retract that question, you can press 0 and then 2 to cancel that. And finally, if you are using speaker equipment today, could you please lift the handset before making your selection? And there'll be a brief pause while questions are being registered. Our first question is over to the line of Horst Schneider at HSBC. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, thanks and good afternoon. So it's Horst from HSBC. I've got actually three questions, please. The first one relates to your BBA results, or respectively the low at equity contribution that you recorded in Q1. So maybe you can give a little bit more explanation what happened there in Q1. Is that now the normal run rate we should expect also for the next few quarters there, or were there special one-off bookings which will not occur again in the next few quarters? So that's question number one. Number two is I still struggle to forecast the reconciliation line. So starting the year, I think that I think the expectation was that we should go for a negative burden here in the next few quarters. Now I see again that there was even a positive result. So I want to understand what is driving that, specifically in Q1, and what should we expect now for the next few quarters, and why, especially, should this line turn negative then, as of a sudden in Q2 or Q3? And then last but not least, the question is on other cost changes. Maybe you can give a little bit more explanation how this cost category will develop in the next few quarters. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Horst Schneider. This will be answered by Mr. Aichiner.
Yeah, so Horst, I just want to start with your first question about the BBA result. Keep in mind, the first quarter 2014 was a very strong quarter, still a very pulling market, pricing in good shape, and high volume. So the basis was quite high. And now in 2015, we saw that there is more competitiveness in the market, and the market was a lot weaker than the year before. Same point in time, we have to see that we are now ramping up cost in our joint venture. That has a lot to do with the new models that will be brought to the joint venture, and where we have to localize. As you know, this will be new X1s that will be additional products going forward, and therefore we are now starting ramping up our capacities, bringing in the equipment and preparing for those capacity increases. So that is the major element, and this will be an element going forward as well now for the whole year. So we have a higher future cost element now in the equation, if you want so, going forward. But on the other hand, BBA is still growing its business, so we don't see that this is something that is unexpected. We always knew that this will come. So that was the BBA result, and the second question was about the reconciliation. Well, as you know, basically you're right with an increasing leasing. Normally, it should be more negative. We had some positive effects, especially in the first quarter now. For example, early termination effects that we have. That means that customers are terminating the cars early in order to buy a new one. We supported that development, and this had a very positive influence on that line. And that's more or less the major explanation besides other minor elements in that line.
Sorry, that should continue then the next few quarters. That is not a one-off thing, right?
Well, our forecast says that now it will be stepwise more negative going forward, because as I said, that was campaigns we had in place beginning of the year, especially in the U.S., and I don't think that this will hold on at that level. So we think that with the growing business, especially in markets like U.S., the line eliminations and reconciliations will be a bit more negative than even last year. That's what we are expecting. Mm-hmm. So we had a first quarter that was a bit too positive compared to what we are expecting to come the next three quarters. That's absolutely right. Then other cost changes. Well, we still stay with the guidance we gave to you guys in the beginning of the year. It will be a burden of a mid to high triple-digit million euro amount. In essence, it's, again, future costs. We are investing in new products. We are preparing very important products for launch. So to say, the new 7 Series, for example, that is all to come in the second half of the year. So we see more burden in the second half of the year of this, and this will lead us, combined with a solid increase in headcount and wages, this will lead us to higher cost, as I explained to you. So no change in the guidance on that element.
That means also in Q2 it will be rather low. So could it be also positive in Q2 again, or that was really a one-off, that this item was positive?
We are not expecting that it will be positive. But that's from today's perspective, right?
Okay.
Okay, I think those were your three questions, right?
Yeah, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. Next question, please.
Next question is over to the line of Philip Watkins at Citi. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thank you. Philip from Citi. I just wonder if I could just go back on to the BBA question. I don't know if you'd be prepared to give any more granularity on those specific moving parts in the first quarter. So what related to competition or production startups capacity? And was FX any kind of a support in the quarter? And just for me to be absolutely clear, you're saying that sort of the negative impacts for the first quarter will last throughout the remaining of the year. So I guess, are you thinking of a similar level of profit in Q the following quarter as there was in Q1 for BBA? Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Philip. The connection was very bad, but I think we understand a little bit what your question is. I give it to Mr. Aichina. Mr. Aichina, please.
Well, FX didn't play a major role for BBA in the first quarter. I think the real overriding effects were competition, so especially pricing. And you are aware of what's going on in China. There is a discussion about pricing ongoing. We see a kind of a normalization effect over there. So that had an effect, definitely. And then, as I said, the second very important effect is related to all the new products that will be brought to China. So we are preparing to localize a further three products in a joint venture. So that means basically that we are doubling the joint venture portfolio, and basically it has to have an effect. And so we are now ramping up for this investment. There are planning costs, development costs, and other things now going on in order to prepare. And this is the major effect. So we again are investing into future growth of BBA with those initiatives. So that's basically the background of this. So one is market, as I said, driven by the normalization and everything else that's going on there. The other is our planned increase of product momentum, portfolio enhancement, and things like that. So that's the background of this. Now, we think that there will be an effect in the whole year as well, and that was always clear. That's what our expectation is for 2015.
Thank you. So in terms of pricing, sorry, I can hear an echo here, but it's something you've talked about it in terms of basis points. I mean, 100 basis points, 200 basis points. I don't know if you'd be prepared to say how down is it in China, or how down do you think it can be in China this year?
Well, honestly, I don't have the number available, so I don't want to tell you something wrong. So
okay.
That's what I cannot tell you.
And in terms of volumes then for the year, what do you expect? Volumes for you for the year in China?
Well, we think, as I said, we still expect, despite that the environment is normalizing, that it should be possible to grow the business this year as well. We are expecting solid growth. That means in a range of between 5 and 9.9%, right?
Thank you.
In that range.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
We now go over to
the line. Thank you very much, Philip. Next question, please.
Thank you. We're now going to the line of Arndt Ellinghorst at Evercore. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon, everyone. Two questions from my side, please. The first one a bit more of a technical question, really, for Dr. Aichina. Your other provisions have really increased a lot year over year and also from the end of last year. So you're now... have a number of around 9.5 billion in other provisions. That's more than roughly 2 billion more than last year, same time, up 30%. Can you talk a little bit what's driving this substantial increase in provisioning activity, which is clearly way beyond the increase in unit sales? And the second question, again, sorry, coming back to China because it's scaring so many of your investors. Can you talk a little bit more why the mass market is currently behaving better than the premium market, and whether you see some specific reasons for that could make this a more sustainable development? Because so far, you've always said that premium should grow stronger than the mass market. And also coming back to the discussions we had on your dealers in China, it still appears that your dealers are voicing their concerns more loudly and more aggressively in the market. And as a consequence, BMW is seen as having clearly more problems with its product portfolio than its peers. So, you know, either your dealers really have more problems or you need to manage your relationship better. What's really going on there? Thank you.
Arndt Ellinghorst, thank you very much. I think we start very briefly with Mr. Reithofer and then with Mr. Aichiner.
Mr. Ellinghorst, I would like to look a bit into the future. I mean, if I see the Chinese passenger car market, then, as I said during my speech, is predicted to grow by roughly 70% in 2015 to approximately 20.3 million units. And what does it mean? It means it is still a very important, very strong car market. It is, at the moment, from a volume point of view, the most important car market of the world. It still is true. So at the moment, inside the market, we can see the main focus of growth will shift from the increasingly, I have to say, saturated coastal cities to interior provinces. And if I look into the market and I see the next, let me say, five to 10 years, then I can say over the long term, growth, of course, will normalize, but the positive will still be driven by the middle class increasing purchasing power. And now what we have to see, I mean, at the moment we have the situation, the market environment is currently feeling the effects of a slightly weaker economy. I mean, please have in mind, during the past couple of years, we had GDP growth rates in the two-digit range, always in the two-digit range. And now we were going down and down and down and down, and now 7% is the lowest GDP growth rate I think we had for years. So, and of course, it will affect the Chinese market. And if you ask me during the first 3 months, why was the premium car market from a growth point of view only half of the total car market, then I can only say, we have, for example, anti-corruption campaign. And if I see our Rolls-Royce figures, then I see clearly the impact of the anti-corruption campaign. And we have a pricing campaign in the Chinese market, and it will lead as well to a normalizing pricing situation in the market. And all the effects are now add-on, I would like to say. And it seems to be that it hits the premium car market more than the total car market. But as I said, I mean, over the long term, growth will normalize, but still how we see it will be driven by the middle class increasing purchasing power. So, and that is how we see it, and more is pure speculation, more is pure looking into a crystal ball.
Now, Dr. Reithofer, I appreciate that and these comments on the overall market, but it just seems that you are affected more than your competitors. That's the concern that some of your shareholders might have.
No, that is not how we see it. We see a normalizing process in the premium car market segment. We see that situation, and it affects others as well, not just BMW. Or we see things and read things in a different way.
Okay, Mr. Aichiner.
Yeah, Arndt, your question about the provisions. So first of all, we have to see that we are in a growing environment. We are growing our business, and so all the obligations for ongoing operating expenses are growing. So, like warranty and things like that. But the major effect is due to personal expenses, for example, in order to fund the profit participation and the bonuses, as well wage increase and things like that, right? So, I mean, that's the major driver of this. And as you know, there was an increase of headcount that took place, and this has a related effect.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much. Next question, please.
Our next question is over to the line of Fraser Hill of Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, good afternoon. Fraser Hill from Bank of America. Thanks for taking my questions. A few actually on China. Just coming back to the dealership top-up or bonus, additional bonuses that you paid in the first quarter, I imagine there was clearly an impact of that in these numbers. Can you provide us with a bit of colour? I know you're not going to give me the exact numbers, but how was that split maybe proportionately between the consolidated group and the associate? Was there a disproportionate burden on the associate, or was that fairly evenly split? You've been pretty clear about the price cuts, and we can all see what's happening in the market. And I think you made some comments as a group around the Shanghai Auto Show that there would be some further pricing revisions in Q2 in China. Can you give us some detail around that? Is that focused purely on the local units? Are we seeing that across the board in terms of your imported units? And just in terms of those imported units, do you think you can still grow those imported units into China year on year in 2015, which I think coming through the full year conference was still broadly speaking the ambition? Finally, if I may, just on the rate of dealership growth this year, I know that's been important for the group. What do you expect or hope that your dealership network in China can grow by this year in 2015? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Fraser. Mr. Aichiner?
Well, first your question about the support we gave to dealers, basically it was more or less a 50-50 split that we approach that we took. Now, coming back to the developments in China you mentioned, I think there are the different things coming together. First of all, we have to see that the market is slowing down, and dealers have to get used to a situation where their business has to be more than just new car business. So far, their only income stream was new car business, whilst in the other parts of the world, dealers are earning money with the after-sales business, with used car business, with F&I business and things like that. So that is missing until they are depending too much on just the new car business. They have invested heavily, sometimes more than we wanted them to invest, but that's China too. And now we see that the new car business, based on the developments in the economy in China, the anti-corruption campaign and all those things, is not growing at the same speed as we've seen it in the past. And this has an impact, influence on their profitability. So we are in a situation where we now have to develop the business model of the dealers, and that is where our focus is, that they have a more broader approach to the automotive segment in China with a developed after-sales business and other elements, as I mentioned it. So that's something that we got to change, and we are in the middle of that change. Now, of course, change always hurts to a certain extent, and sometimes when something hurts, people are crying out. That is what we experienced as well. But I want to make sure that you understand that we know what's going on, and we have a clear strategy what we want to do with that. So that's our view. And that's how we are pushing now forward. We're trying to support them. We're trying to help them changing the business model. We're doing a lot of things in order to help them making the change. And we help them stop the bleeding to a certain extent because, of course, they had a profit hit as this change came in very quickly. So we had a very solid first half 2014, everything fine. And then in the second half of the year, those kind of developments accelerated in the market, and they couldn't respond fast enough, so we gave them support as well in order to keep them in the network. So that's how we look at it. And as Dr. Reithofer said, we know that this is a similar picture with others in the automotive world in China as well. It's not only us. Maybe we've been a bit more in the headlines, but nevertheless, we know everybody else has the same problem. So having said that, now the question is what is really the impact, especially on the BBA side, and there is another element coming in. We have to see that BBA is now in the first half of the year in a situation where the product portfolio is aging. We don't have new product momentum, and new competitors are coming in with new products. This will change at the end of the year where we get, for example, a very attractive and competitive new X1 in place and things like that. But at the moment, we are a bit suffering from the aging portfolio within BBA, and this has, of course, also a pricing effect, and that is washing through to a certain extent. Dealer network, we still intend to grow our dealer network. Maybe the format will be a bit more different to the past. We are not going for very heavy investments. We try to find the right balance there, but there's no doubt about it. We will grow our network further in order to grow our business. So that's how we look at it.
And that dealer network growth, will that be double-digit, you think, this year, or a bit more muted?
So we are looking to add, let's say, something around 30 additional dealers this year, right?
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Next question, please.
We're now over to the line of Christina Church at Barclays. Please go ahead.
Oh, yes, it's Christina Church here. Thank you for taking my questions. I've got one more question on pricing, but more general pricing, not just specific to China. But in Europe, I think you said in Q1 pricing globally was a little bit tougher. Could you just give a little bit more color on what you're seeing and what you're expecting for the outlook, especially given the raft of new models coming? And then my second question relates to FX. I was just wondering if you could give an update on the level of hedging that you have in place now for next year for the major currencies, and also whether that hedging, what proportion of that hedging is done via sort of straightforward forwards, and how much use you make of options in your financial hedging. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Christina. This will be answered by Mr. Aichina.
Well, hi, Christina. So first of all, you're absolutely right. So we have a different, very heterogeneous situation around the world. So whilst in China, as I explained, there is more pricing pressure now going on. We see in Europe that the pricing is recovering. So we see that transaction prices are improving, not at a big scale, but we see that this is a kind of a trend, and that gives us a lot of confidence that Europe might come back. So that's the two controversial developments we see. Having said that, U.S. is fairly stable. We see a bit more pricing because now everybody is looking at the U.S. As the exchange rate is favorable, now all the importers now are driving their volumes to a certain extent. So, and we've seen that in the sales numbers as well, and I'm sure you have followed up that. So that's, but it's not something serious. I think it has to do with this competition and the currency, as I explained. So that's what we see. Hatching. Well, we have both elements in place. Our hedging strategy in the past always was, in a way, and you know that, that we are using a mix of options and forwards. It depends on how far we are away from the buying power equilibrium. And as it is like this, you see the consequences in the financial result of the automotive segment as well. So, and we will move on doing this in the same way going forward. Now, this year, we are more or less through with our hedging, of course. Next year, we have a very solid position, and this position is definitely higher than 50% in the major currencies. That's what I can say today.
Thank you very much. Next question, please.
Our next question is from the line of Michael Raab at Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead with your question. Your line is now open.
Hi, thanks. It's Mike Raab from Kepler Cheuvreux. Just getting back to China, could you please make clear, just from my understanding, what the benchmark for the production cuts in the second quarter is that you announced? Is that relative to the first quarter of this year, relative to the second quarter of last year? Is this against the old budget that you originally had for China before you recently revised it downwards? Or is this perhaps against the new budget? Then secondly, which of the models are affected the most by the local production cuts? Is it 3 Series? Is that the X1, which you just shifted there? And then finally, since you mentioned that a year ago, China was still a fairly decent pull market, are you seeing the danger that perhaps on the back of the accumulation of locally installed production capacity, even in the premium segment, this is increasingly becoming a push market as your competitors and perhaps yourselves are trying to utilize the freshly added capacities? Thanks.
Thank you very much, Michael Raab. Mr. Aichina, please.
Well, Basically, I have to come back to what I said already. We have a slowing product momentum now, especially in the joint venture, until the end of the year. A lifecycle impulse is coming in for the 3 Series, so we have a run-out situation on the 3 Series, and we replace the X1 at the end of the year, so we have a run-out on that as well. And the we have, on the other side, the 5 Series is now already in the second half of his lifecycle. I mean, that's the situation within BBA, and of course, this has a certain influence on how you market the cars. So your question about what we've done, I mean, we have seen in the first quarter that the market in China is slowing down more than we anticipated at the end of last year. That's something that came through. And as always, we tried to avoid push, and we started cutting production back and balancing dealer stocks and things like that. Because as you said, and we are sharing your views, driving premium via push market is not what we want to do. And if you don't want to do this, then the consequence is you have to cut production until the demand and supply is again in balance. And that's what we did. So, as I said, as the 3 Series is on a run out because the facelift is coming in, the major reduction was done for the 3 Series. So that's what we did.
Okay, but just to make sure I'm completely understanding this correctly, the reduction, is that in line with the new budget that acts as a foundation to the guidance you issued a few weeks ago, or is that even versus the guidance that you originally issued a few weeks ago?
I think our guidance is not at all influenced by this. We think our guidance is a solid guidance. I confirm it in my speech today, and even the first quarter is confirming the guidance because we said our profit will be a solid one, a solid growth on group level, and that is something which is reflected in our numbers already in the first quarter. So we are quite confident that the guidance will be met at the end of the year. Right.
So it's in line with the budget that you issued a few weeks ago.
At the end of the day, we are talking at the total budget of all car sales. You know, we always have fluctuations. That's nothing abnormal. Last year, the Russian market was blown away. And of course, we had a different budget for the Russian market, but we compensated in other markets. So you see a lot of fluctuation based on the original budget in our product allocation. But as long as we compensate developments in one market with a better sales in other markets, there's no issue at all. And that's the case for the group.
All right, thank you. And perhaps one final look, Dr. Reithofer, all the best for your future. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much from my side.
Thank you very much, Michael Raab. I think we have time for two more questions. I think, yes. I think it's 5 minutes to three. Yes, two more questions. Next question, please.
Next question is from the line of Jürgen Pieper of Metzler Capital Markets. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, hi, good afternoon. I'll make it quick. The two short questions, one on China, sorry for that. One on China, could it be, and I've written this in one market research, that the catching up situation in which Mercedes is, that this is affecting you more than your competitors, as Mercedes is closer in terms of product positioning to BMW than, for example, to Audi. And secondly, there was an article just a few weeks ago in a German magazine that the full carbon fiber body has turned out to be a dead end street, and you're correcting this trend, or you're correcting this direction to in the next generation or in the next i5 product to a mixed body steel, aluminium and carbon fiber instead of a full carbon fiber thing. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jürgen Pieper. Mr. Reithofer, please.
I mean, I was reading the article as well.
Okay.
Was a very interesting one. I would like to say one thing to the BMW i3. The BMW i3 is a material mixture. The chassis is aluminum. The core of the whole structure is carbon fiber, and the add-on parts are thermoplasts.
So that means the whole construction is an intelligent material mix, including aluminum, including carbon fiber, including thermoplast. So if I look into the new BMW 7 Series, or let me come first to the BMW i8, we have already more experiences how to deal with carbon fiber from the i3 to the BMW i8, and even more experience from the BMW i8 to the new BMW 7. So the BMW 7 is, I would say, a very intelligent material mix, including high-strength steel, aluminum. By the way, we have learned as well on the aluminum side from projects we had 10 years ago, our predecessor of the current 7, for example, we know how to use carbon fiber in a very intelligent material mix. And our guys said in Mirror Mass, and I say at least we reduced the weight of that car by 130 kilos. So, and I would say we know how to handle material mix, and we knew it already with the BMW i3. We have learned a lot during the development phase of the BMW i3. We put it into the BMW i8 in a different way, and in an even better way in the new BMW 7. And that is a normal development process, how it works.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And China, Mr. Aichina?
Well, your question about competition, I mean, that's easy to read. They are following a strategy their competitors have already in place. They are localizing more products they didn't have before. So this will generate for a certain period additional momentum until everybody is then in the same position, and then this momentum will level out. But that's one element to it, and the other element, I explained it already, that our BBA products, and that is where the volume is, are now in an aging situation for a certain period, and with the replacement of the 3 Series by the new facelifted product, and with the replacement of X1 with a completely new X1, this will change in the course of the year, and then the competitiveness of the portfolio will go up again. So that is how we look at it, and that's all.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you very much. A quick last question, please.
In that case, we'll quickly go to the line of Charles Winston at Redburn Partners. Please go ahead, Charles. Your line is open.
Yeah, thank you. It's Charles from Redburn. It's just one question for me. We've seen this marked acceleration in new contracts in the financial service division really since the first quarter of last year, and obviously it's a very significant result this quarter. Question is this: is this demand-led or QE-led? In other words, are we seeing that because you're able to offer cheaper financing because of QE, that's sort of one of the drivers here, or is it completely a customer pull situation where just the demand for credit has increased very rapidly? It's just this very sudden turnaround in new contract growth over the past 12, 15 months. I'm just trying to get my head around it, because it clearly doesn't match exactly what you've seen in terms of underlying volumes. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Aichina.
Well, I think it's both. As we have favorable financing rates and a very solid used car business and stable residual values, our monthly payments rates are favorable and competitive, and that's what customers, of course, appreciate. That's one thing. The second element is that we see a lot of growth in markets where leasing and financing plays a major role, like the U.S., for example. U.S. picked up a lot of momentum, high growth rates, and of course, in this market, financing plays a much higher role than in any other market around the world. So those are the elements that are driving, to a certain extent, the penetration rate a bit up in the first quarter.
Okay, clear. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Aichina. So, ladies and gentlemen, today was the last telephone conference held with the current chairman of our management board, Norbert Reithofer. Dr. Reithofer, also on behalf of all our participants, I'd like to thank you for so often taking this opportunity to discuss our business with the many interested analysts and investors. Thank you very much. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to close our telephone conference. I wish you all the best. Thank you very much and bye-bye.